You're wearing your bleachy shirt.
I'm wearing my bleachy shirt. It actually looks good.
It's like tie-dye. Natural tie-dye.
It's custom. Ladies and gentlemen, give us a big round of applause for Katie Morton.
Oh,
that was loud. Welcome back, Katie.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Tell me, where have you been since I last saw you?
I've been around the world and No, I went to Philly. I'm a Philly girl now.
Yo, how's it going?
Hello. And my voice got very hoarse because we had an open mic night the last night on Saturday night. And I did not participate personally in the open mic, but I am down to be a hype girl. So you say, whoa, you clap, make a lot of ruckus.
Right, right.
Bring because the ruckus. They had the guts to get up and right. Show us their talent.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Open mic night?
Well, no, but why don't you tell us where you were?
Oh, I was in Philadelphia at the Healthy Voices Conference, which is a health advocates conference.
Ah.
So everybody at this conference is either struggling with an illness themselves or a caregiver or something like that. And they advocate online through, you know, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok,
cool.
What have you.
So you got to meet a bunch of interesting people.
I did. Well, I got to reconnect with some interesting people that I knew from the previous years, and I got to meet some newbies, and it
very
was
cool.
Wonderful.
Did you recharge your batteries? You seemed like it.
A little bit. I think it, I don't know. I think, first of all, I went alone, which I love you, but we spend a lot of time together, and I don't get alone time because I don't really make it a priority. And I didn't even realize that I wasn't really feeling like myself, I guess. And then having that alone time, especially even on a plane, even when we travel on planes together, it's like alone time kind of, because you're like in your head and your own thoughts with your noise canceling headphones, just trying to pretend that you're not on an airplane. And
I want eye canceling headphones.
It's called an eye mask, Sean.
Well, yeah, that too. But you know, like, so everything just is dark and you're in the void.
I can get you an eye mask.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
It's just a sleep mask.
Get me a silky one.
I have one. It's wonderful.
Does that have lace around the edges? I want it to be fancy if I'm going to wear it.
Okay. I'll get you one like the funny French maid dress up things for Halloween. Okay.
Or maybe I can have like fuzzy dice hanging from the corners, you know, gold lamé trim.
What?
Very specific.
Are you like driving a lowrider car or truck in Los Angeles? Is that what you want? The fringe across the top?
Yeah.
That's not what I have that I like, but you do you.
Okay.
So yeah, we can get you an eye mask, and that's called eye canceling.
Welcome to another episode of Opinions That Don't Matter. I'm Sean.
And I'm Katie. Hello.
It's the podcast where we just ramble. If you enjoy it, feel free to leave a review.
Tell somebody about it.
Yeah, tell people about it.
Tell your peoples. Anyway, so I went to Philly, and it was beautiful, first of all. Gorgeous city. Had never really been, even though one time in a blizzard in February of, I don't know what, 2013.
Yeah, a blizzard's not the way to see a city, I don't think.
And I only ended up there because in DC we couldn't get a flight out, but in Philly we could. So we booked a Philadelphia flight and then took a train from DC to Philly. And we were in Philly for like 4 hours. You know, it was like nothing. But this time I was there for 4 days, and I wish I could have done more in the city. But because you're there for a conference, the only day I really had was Thursday. But I was starving by the time I got back to the hotel. Or like
really?
Got to the hotel.
In a city with cheesesteaks.
Well, I went immediately and had a cheesesteak. But I didn't go to the good place. I guess there's like Steve's and there's another one that's supposed to be really good. But I just went to this dive bar across like two blocks from our hotel called the Ludicrous Rendezvous. I highly recommend. Service was great. People were nice.
Did you throw them bows?
I did. Boom, boom. Luda. Anyway, I went with a couple other people and it was really fun. And I like Philadelphia. The people were super nice. I believe it is the city of brotherly love. The water out of the tap was delicious.
What's with the broken bell?
The Liberty Bell?
Yeah. What is the deal with it?
Why is it
broken?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
I didn't pay attention in history class.
Oh, okay.
Can't tell you much about the Liberty Bell. Do you want me to do some you Googling?
Well, I know it's part of the American history. I think what happened was during the American independence movement, some guys were
carrying
it.
Historical landmark in Philadelphia.
And they didn't want to admit that they cracked it, but it was cracked.
The Liberty Bell is previously called the State House Bell, or the Old State House Bell. It is an iconic symbol of American independence, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, once placed in the steeple of the Penn State House now named the Independence Hall. The bell today is located across the street in the Liberty Bell Center in Independence National Historical Park. The bell was commissioned in 1751 by the Pennsylvania Provincial Assembly from the London, who nobody cares, and it was cast with the lettering proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof.
What an amazing time when people around the world were clamoring for the idea of freedom and supporting each other, different nations supporting the idea of freedom. And here we are where, you know, everyone should be.
People are a bit crazy.
Yeah.
The bell first cracked when rung after its arrival in Philadelphia. And
they were excited.
It was twice recast by local workmen, John Pass and John Stowe, both Johns, whose names still appear on the bell. In the early years, the bell was used to summon lawmakers or legislative sessions and to alert citizens about public meetings and proclamations.
Hmm. Nowadays, you need an even bigger bell to get everyone to come back to Congress, you know, because they fly away and
they don't do their,
they don't do their job.
But nobody works.
Ring the shit out of that bell. You'd probably break the new bell even quicker than you broke the old bell. You know this one? Here's the church.
Here's the steeple.
Here's the steeple.
Open and see all the people. Yep.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
It is a good one.
I thought about that while you're giving me the history lesson.
I'm glad that you learned something.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were in Philly. I'd love to go back and spend time in the city. I think you and I'd have fun there.
I love the history aspect.
And it's very walkable. It felt like Boston to me. Same reason I love Boston. Maybe we'll do like an Eastern Seaboard extravaganza.
Yeah. Start in Philly, make our way to New York, then go to...
Down to Boston.
Boston.
To Boston.
North to Boston.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
Boston's above New York.
I thought it was right below it for some reason.
Yeah, it goes Miami, then Boston, then New York.
Flippity flop.
I joke about that because I'm Canadian, you know, and I'm, you know, so like my geography isn't great here, but I could be arrogant and say, oh, I know, you know.
I never know.
I don't know anything about Mexico. Like I really still get confused. When someone says something, I'm like, I think I know where that is, but I'm a little lost.
Well, I know enough about a couple of the states.
Yeah.
Because there are states in Mexico people don't know.
I like Jalisco. I love their food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that, that's all?
Well, no, I love Baja, Mexico. Mm-hmm. The food is great.
Yeah.
I do it by regional cuisine, you know?
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I only know a few states that are like pretty much are kind of along the border or like by Mexico City.
Right.
And then after that, I'm kind of lost. But most people, when they talk about Mexico, if I say like, oh, what part? They'll be like, oh, you know, southeast, northwest, you know, based on their country and where they are.
I know.
So anyway, went to Pennsylvania, had a really good time. And kind of like what you're saying, like I feel recharged a little bit. We're taking vacation. So you'll be listening to this and we'll be gone. Pew! I'm gone. Get gone. And that will be nice. And thank God, because we're going to Charleston. Thank God it didn't get flooded.
We're going to learn a new dance.
The Charleston.
Yeah. Well, it's not a new dance, but it's a new dance to me.
You can see my feet. They're doing it.
Right.
I'm doing it. Anyway, I did feel recharged, I think.
Did they call it Charlestown after like King Charles, who was, you know, like Elizabethan?
I highly doubt it.
No, I think they.
Doubt it.
Really?
Yeah.
When it was a colony, name it after the king?
I don't think.
Mm-mm. No.
I don't think that's where that came from.
I think it, you know, because towns get a name from somewhere. They don't just pull it out of a hat.
The Charleston dance, named after the harbor city of Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay. So that's, I got that one. Ting. You said the Charleston dance is named after the Charleston city.
You said the king, King Charles.
I didn't say the dance. I said the town.
Oh, the
Charleston. Charlestown. I'm just trying to break it down here.
So the rhythm was popularized in mainstream music in the United States by a 1923 tune called The Charleston by composer / pianist James P. Johnson.
No, we're trying to find the origin.
I know.
Oh.
One thing at a time, Sean. Okay. Jesus, criminies. ADHD, you guys. So... Charleston is the largest city in the U.S. state of South Carolina. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know how to find out how it got its name.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, yeah. It was founded in 1670 as Charlestown, honoring King Charles II.
The second. I wonder what the first is.
Albemarle Point on the west bank of Ashley River, now Charlestown Landing, but relocated in 1680 to its present site, which became the fifth largest city in North America within 10 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
Yep.
I'll have one fact when I get there.
Yep. 1670, it was found.
I wonder if there's a plaque.
There probably is. We're going to take the historical tour.
Oh,
also, my friend Rachel Starr, who's a schizophrenia advocate, and a stunt woman. Amazing. She lives in North Carolina.
Okay.
And she was giving me, she said, there's a ghost tour you can take of this prison, and she highly recommends it.
I'm down.
And you can also paddle out in boats where there's like alligators and stuff in the water.
Okay.
Just like they did in The Notebook, which I don't know if you watched that film.
I did. But they but paddle I don't
remember out that. And like, it's got like the Weeping Willow kind of look, and they're paddling.
Ooh.
That's where it was filmed.
Romantic until the crocodiles show up.
Until they get a hold of your
then
oar.
Then there's a murder.
Let go of the oar. Yeah.
Yeah, you put your hands in the water and paddle back. Is that what you're...
No, I was just in the air like this. You just panic.
So
panic!
Katie, you were out of town and mm-hmm. I took the opportunity to talk to my sister on the phone.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah. She told me not to tell anyone.
So now you're telling everybody.
Well, I might as well just come clean. And
Never tell them your secrets, Kim.
Well, no, it's not her secret. She was recommending that I didn't tell anyone what I told her because
she was like, please stop telling people this. It's embarrassing for you and our whole family. Bring shame to the family.
Well, that's what she said, actually. I hadn't told anyone yet, but I ran it past her because I was sitting there bored. You weren't here. I was just looking out the window. I was a little, sad and looking at squirrels in the yard.
I think you probably enjoyed your alone time.
Yeah, we played a lot of rock and roll on the guitar.
Yeah, I figured.
Well, three chords.
I told everybody at the conference because they were like, so what's Sean up to this week? And I was like, he is probably playing guitar, talking to PJ, and watching old hockey on YouTube on silent where they don't wear helmets or masks from like the 70s.
My God, are you watching me on the Google cam?
No, I just know you really well.
I did watch some new hockey because we're preseason, but here's what Kim said.
What did Kim say?
Actually, here, I'll tee it up.
Okay.
I said, Kim, I'm lonely. I'm looking out the window. I don't do myself when Katie's, not here. So I've taken the dog for a walk and I could have gone to town.
You didn't say that.
I did. I was crying. But
not true.
So anyways, while I was sitting there, how Roxy is really, she's communicative is one way of describing it.
She chitty chats a lot. Yeah,
she sounds like a husky these days.
She does.
To get your attention. And she does it when she's yawning too. So I think it's more like not temper tantrum, but I don't know. Anyways.
It's usually when she's tired. She does it right before she needs to fall asleep.
She started making a noise, and the noise is wrong.
Sean.
And I was like, what? And I turned my head and her ears perked up.
She was like, yes, I'm talking to you.
And so I looked back at the TV and she said, wrong. And I was like, what the fuck? Am I having,
Were you high? I'm just kidding.
Exactly. I was like, what is going on? And I look at her and her ears perk up and her head tilts. So I was like, Roxy? And her head went straight up. I was like, are we having a moment?
She was talking to you.
I think she's learning English, my name, which would make sense because you say my name pretty frequently.
I do.
And I pay attention when you. So I think she's learning how to get my attention because she's not growling. Mm-mm. She's not like making a ton of whining noises. She's doing two syllables.
Your name. She's like trying to say your
or
name.
Or one syllable, but like kind of drawn out.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's missing a shh.
That's because she doesn't do that.
I know. But if she learns that part, I'm going to be really.
That's fucking scary shit.
But anyways, and so I told my sister this. I said, I think the dog is talking to me.
That's why she said don't tell
him. Kim said, Sean, I'm going to cut it to you straight. Don't tell anyone that ever.
They're going to think you've lost your mind.
And it's like, oh yeah, I guess that sounds a little odd. But I believe that this dog is that smart. It's a show dog.
She is a show dog. Well, no, I think, any repetitive sound to her, because essentially they don't speak English. Don't pretend that they do, but they do recognize repetitive sounds. Just like when you say, I call it the W word, but walk. Like she's over on the other side of the house in her crate right now.
She knows that word for sure.
She'll like, huh? And so.
But she's not saying it.
No, or outside. She knows that. Treat, breakfast, dinner,
Or this one.
She goes, don't do that to her. She's going to go crazy.
Crazy for
that. That's when she sees a squirrel. Yeah. Anyway. All that to say, I think she understands repetitive sounds. And since I say Sean, that, she picks up on that. And she's like, that's how I talk to him. Cause that's how Katie talks to him.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she knows my name.
So I started giving her a treat later on that day when she was making that noise.
Oh,
I was like,
reinforcing. It's like how moms try to get their babies to say mama first.
Oh yeah. They always say, something else.
Well, mama and dada are like easy, and it's really just, I hate to hurt people's feelings if they didn't know this already, but what they say through neurological research is like children don't know what they're saying. They just are responding to your emotional response. So if the mom is like, Yay. Then they just keep repeating because they're essentially trying to learn their sound, like to make noise. And what is that? And mama, papa, da, da. Those are easy noises.
And people are crafty. You know, it's all about manipulation, right? Mm-hmm. So you're trying to.
You're trying to train them kind of. And I don't mean that in like a bad way. It's just, you know, you're just.
The kid is trying to train you.
No.
No. Oh, okay.
No. But Roxy definitely tries to train us.
So Kim's son, Justin, sends mm-hmm. me a lot of Instagram messages. Usually shares the funny things or things he thinks are funny.
Funny memes.
I'm like, oh.
Does he find some good ones?
Well, yeah. But sometimes I'm like, oh, you know. And I'm going to share with you one that I just saw. And he said that, here, I'll share it with you. But if you want to read that, I'll put it on the screen.
Oh, I've seen people talking about this, but it actually doesn't help anything. Do you know that?
Yeah. So what does it say?
TikTok is being taken over by people sunning their perineum again. If you didn't know people, and it's like people get naked and essentially like show their butthole slash their taint to the sun. And there's no, it's actually very dangerous. Dermatologists are like.
Well, yeah, I would assume that's pretty sensitive skin. What? So people don't think they're getting enough vitamin D to... they need to sun every inch of their body?
I don't really know. The thing that doesn't make sense to me is we all need vitamin D and you can get it through your skin anyway. And you can also can get it through what you eat and you can get it through vitamins. But why would...
It's a pretty weird...
Why would we be created, whatever you believe, why would we be created that this very vulnerable spot that is not really in our structure ever going to see the sun? Even if you don't wear clothes, right?
Right.
It's still not going to be in the sun. Why would that be something that would be required of us? Just doesn't make any logical sense.
Evolutionary.
It doesn't make any evolutionary sense. But people are stupid and they like to think that they can.
I bet you that's a cult leader in the making. He's like, all right, everyone.
Get naked in your backyard.
Yep. Put your buttholes to the sky.
And spread your cheeks.
It's really so. But the photo cracked me up. So Justin sent that over.
Oh, it's been happening for a while.
And it says, hey, the benefits of sunning your yoni. What is yoni? Is that an Indian word?
I don't know.
Do they say that in yoga?
No.
It sounds like a yoga word.
It does, but I think somebody's just hijacked some
better
bullshit.
Sleep, balanced hormones, more energy, bigger paycheck, increased creativity, sweet freedom, and a nice tan. But hey, listen, who are you showing that tan to? You know,
right. Who's looking there?
No, I don't know. But anyways, that's a weird trend. And, I don't advise you should do that.
Don't sun your yoni.
Yeah.
No, but there's always these silly things where you're like, I don't really, and I'm all for people sharing in information. Obviously that's like what we do, but you should also talk to a professional. And that's why I follow people like dermatologists and regular medical doctors. And there's actually this woman who is a urologist and she was talking about, it was funny. This is like months and months ago. This will come full circle in a second. She was talking about the importance of not going pee all the time. Like
hold it
a little bit, not like if you're in pain and you feel like you have to pee, but if you find yourself more anxious, like I do sometimes and I'll be like, I gotta pee and I know I don't. And then I sit on the toilet and it's like drop and that's it. That's actually not good for your bladder because then it will keep telling you, oh, it's full. You need to pee like at that point. And so she says it's really important for you to like check in, you know, take a beat, wait like 20 minutes and then go pee. Like don't push yourself. And you shouldn't hold your pee till you're like in pain. That's not what she was saying. She was essentially saying that you shouldn't be, obviously if you have prostate issues or whatever, any kind of bladder. I'm not a doctor. I'm just repeating what someone said on TikTok. And I did check. She is a licensed professional. Always check. Anyway.
Would it help if you sunned your yoni?
No. Okay. The dermatologist said that's really unsafe and like you can get really badly burned in those areas. The skin is very thin and sensitive and not meant to be. So don't do it.
What if I put sunscreen there?
I don't know. That also makes me nervous because it's like like mucous membranes are in those areas. No. Anyway, long story short, this lady said, don't try to pee all the time. Mm-hmm. You should hold it because your bladder can hold it. And then you'll be able to like sleep through the night without getting up a bunch of times to go pee. Again, I know people have prostate issues, different, but anyway, so I'd learned this. And so I try to do this where I'll make sure I really do have to go pee. I'll try to hold it a little longer and then I'll go. I don't do it to any painful amount, but I just want to make sure that I can like hold my pee on a flight or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
On my flight out to Pennsylvania, I sat next to this cute little couple. They're probably I don't know, in their 20s, let's say 25. He got up to go to the bathroom in this three hour and like 20 minute flight, like five times.
Maybe he's just stretching his legs.
Well, no, he wasn't. Cause
vaping in the bathroom.
No, he was peeing. He says, hold on, I'll tell you, I'll finish the story. So then we're landing and he says to his girlfriend, I really have to go to the bathroom. And she, and I'm just sitting there listening because we're, you know, when everybody stands up and you can't get off the plane and I'm like, why is everybody standing up? It's the same with like people trying to get on the plane and just standing up. And I'm like, they haven't even called your group. Get out of the fucking way. What are you doing? Anyway, so people do that and like get all clogged in the aisle for no reason. So we're just sitting there and I'm the aisle seat. He's in the middle. She's at the window. And she says, there's no way that you have to pee. All you've had is one Coca-Cola today. You haven't even drank any water. And she's like, you might want to see a doctor about this. And he's like, well, that's just how I am. That I just do that. You should see me at work. I just go pee all the time. And she's like, you might want to see a doctor. She's like, are you anxious? Do you think that's it? He was definitely anxious, by the way. Every takeoff and landing, he wrung his hands together and his legs were like vibrating, like his knees. He made me feel anxious.
Maybe you should slow down on the Coke.
Right? Shouldn't have had caffeine. It's not my business. I'm just sitting with my, but I have my noise canceling headphones off because we're about to get off the plane, but I don't want anything to do with anything. Anyway, so and then I'm following them, right? Because like we're getting off, I get my bag, they walk, we go. And she's just like, I don't think that's healthy. And I didn't realize how often you're going to the bathroom. And just on and on and on.
Oh, a new relationship. Mm-hmm. Maybe the first flight together.
I think so. Mm. I think they were going to see either her family or his family. Mm. I think hers, based on what they were saying. Anyway, but it was just funny. And I wanted to be like, check this lady out on TikTok. Your girlfriend is right. Listen to her. You've peed an intense amount. And he didn't even finish the whole Coke, by the way. His girlfriend finished it because he couldn't. And she didn't pee at all. And then she said, I peed before we got on the plane and it's only 3 hours. I had half a bottle of water. I'll pee when we get off. Like normal, right? I peed once, but it was just funny. Anyway, random conversations that you overhear from people. I enjoy that. If you have any funny overheard conversations, send them into otdmpod@gmail.com. I cannot wait to listen to those things.
I have a confession to make. Mm-hmm. At the wedding that we went to, mm-hmm. I accidentally piddled on my pants.
Oh, that happens to you sometimes.
Perfectly piddled on my pants. You know what? It wasn't me piddling. It was the
underwears?
No, the device I was peeing at.
Oh, it sprayed?
Yeah. I don't know why they make urinals that way. They should make them like more like
deep, right?
Yeah, like deep, not like a wall, not a porcelain wall, but like a porcelain chute that you're peeing into, you know?
Yeah.
It's a bad design. Who designed this?
Also, like, we do know how much like pee sprays in general.
Why would sometimes it gets in my eyes. No, but... hope that's my pee.
Wash all of Sean's clothes.
But anyways, it splashed out of the thing, and usually there's like a little bee or a target.
So they tell you to,
which they never explained that to you as a kid. They just one day they showed up in the urinals. And I was like, "What is that?" And I had to ask somebody. Like,
but people pee at it because they're like, "What is that?" I'm going to rinse it off, and that helps so it doesn't make a mess.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess it's the right arc. You know, there's a lot of geometry or trigonometry involved.
Physics. Yeah, maybe trigonometry.
Physics too, yeah. You know, okay, the angle of the...
The dangle? So, mm-hmm.
Well, the curvature of the earth plus the weight of the water, the and tidal the sequence.
The pressure of the P itself.
How close is the moon, you know?
Mm-hmm. Is Mercury in retrograde?
Right. It's weird too. Sometimes you go into the bathroom and dudes will be standing there and when they're peeing, they drop trowel. And you're like, you don't need to take your pants down.
Everybody, you know, to their own, man.
I know, but I don't know.
I wouldn't want my pants sitting on the bathroom floor. 6 years old?
No, standing up, though. They'll like have their butt out.
They'll still fall down to the ground. Maybe you don't need that. On the floor.
Anyways.
I think for cleanliness
Katie, you're getting way off topic here. But anyway, so I was embarrassed. I was like, oh my God, everyone's going to, like, as if anyone's paying attention to me in a dark restaurant.
Also, your pants are dark. And we're in a light, like a dimly lit restaurant.
But to me, I was mortified that if I walked by a candle or something, people would be like, oh, my God. So I did a little disguise. I splattered some water on my jacket as well, you know, so that it would look like I leaned up against the counter, you know, and that's how I got the water on me.
Really?
See, you didn't notice.
Any of it.
You never pay attention to me.
Your suit was black, Sean.
I was a little slightly nervous, though. I mean, I
really?
Well, yeah, you know, you don't want to. I didn't want to come across as a dugabore, you know.
I mean, nobody thinks you're a dugabore,
that's
but
that's an offensive word. I shouldn't say that anymore.
I mean, it's not really offensive. It's ladies who got naked and strung themselves across things.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, but
that was
number one, nobody would have noticed. Number two, I don't really think you needed to get water on your jacket to just say, oh, I splashed on myself washing my hands.
I know, but I needed a good cover story, you know?
Oh, okay.
Look, there's water over here too.
How clearly. Could I have gotten it? Clearly. Oh my goodness.
Justin sent me something else.
Random. Oh, I'm going to keep on this bathroom talk. And maybe we've talked about this before. And if we have, sorry, not sorry. I was talking with the girls at that wedding.
Oh.
How necessary it is that all restaurants and bars and places should have music playing in the bathroom.
Mm.
Why would you make it quiet in there? Because that's nothing's more awkward than you with somebody that you barely know from this party. And you're like, hey, you got to pee, me too. And you go in and it's silent. And you're like, and then you sit down and you're like, don't fart. For the love of God, don't fart. But everybody knows if you got to pee, you can't really control it. So there should always be music. Nothing grinds my gears more than a quiet bathroom.
Yeah.
And I also, when I was in a 20-something going to clubs and stuff, I loved having a bathroom. What do they call those people?
Attendant.
A concierge. I loved it because I would always need gum or a hair tie or something, you know, and then you give them like $5 and you're like, thank you very much.
Oh, nice tip.
Well, you know, they're doing me a favor. They're right where I needed them to be. I didn't have to try to procure it from somebody else. As an adult, I do not like them at like rest. It makes me super uncomfortable because a lot of times I find that they just hand you paper towels, you know?
Hmm.
And sometimes I don't even bring my purse into the bathroom. Like, I'll leave it with you and be like, I'll be right back. And I don't really know what to do in this case because I could have done it myself. And I also don't have any tip money. And now I feel like a dick. Hmm. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
And I don't know what they're getting paid. And then I'm like, ugh. It's like,
it's uncomfortable.
It's my least favorite thing at this point. And I don't mean to say like we should stop having a job that people have, but like, I wish a restaurant would say we have a bathroom attendant and they are paid very well.
If I was a literary agent, mm-hmm. after hearing your compelling story right now and thinking about this a little closer, I would find a bathroom attendant, someone in like
their
60s or 70s.
You know the stories?
The juicy gossip of the, you know, the finest restaurant in New York.
Well, think of the silliest things that you yourself as a person hear and see and witness in a bathroom.
Now imagine doing that as a profession.
Especially a club bathroom.
Oh.
There's always some girl crying, number one. There are like four types of women in bathrooms at a club when you're in your 20s in Los Angeles. There's the one that's super crying, makeup is smeared, she had a really bad time, something has happened.
Yeah.
She's also probably really drunk. Then they have the supportive friend, the one that's either like, oh, don't worry, trying to like make her look not so disheveled or holding hair back as one throws up, and that moves into the third person who's always puking. And then there's the super drunk girl leaning to the side, drinking her cocktail while her friends are peeing, shouting stories and talking to them as if they're in the same room.
Is there always a couch in a women's bathroom?
No.
Sometimes?
Yes. A lot of times in like department stores.
Why is there a couch in the bathroom?
Because women wear uncomfortable shoes, Sean. We've gone through this.
Oh.
Also, women have babies with them a lot. And sometimes they use those little lounge areas to breastfeed or, you know, or they'll be usually wherever the couch is. There's also like a big mirror along the wall. And that's because people are washing their hands at the other mirror and you can use that mirror to touch your makeup up.
Gotcha. Okay.
How come men, I feel like our bathroom should be the same in many ways.
Oh, there's not equality in this life, Katie. And, you know,
well, I just meant like if men wanted to like fix themselves in a mirror, some men's restrooms don't even have mirrors.
They don't.
And why don't they have diaper changing stations? Have you guys heard about this? As someone who doesn't have children and doesn't plan on ever having children, the women's restrooms always, like fast food, 7-Elevens, always a baby changing station. Men's apparently do not. I know they're working like
Koala station or whatever.
Yeah, Koala and like a diaper brand, I forget who it was, maybe Pampers, donated like a few thousand to places to put them into men's restrooms.
Yeah, but men are filthy animals. We probably just use it to make a sandwich or something, you know?
Like, well, no, but like what if you're a dad with the baby and the wife's not with you? Like, right. How are you supposed to change? Like one dad, it went viral. This is why this happened. one dad said he has to find a place as a toilet. Yeah. He has to put the toilet seat down and sit and put his baby on his lap to change them. Mm. And if you've ever changed a baby, that guy deserves an award.
Right.
They wiggle and squiggle and you're like, you have no room. How are you supposed to pull stuff out? You can't strap them. Chaos, everybody.
We got to get this taken care of. This is a terrible.
They're working on it.
Yeah. Oh, are they?
People are working on it. Okay. They donated thousands of them. They're putting them in, probably putting one in right now as we speak.
Justin sent over another one of these crazy trends that's happening. Okay. And I'll put it on the screen right here. Mm-hmm. So it's quite disturbing, though. The NyQuil Chicken Challenge went viral on TikTok when someone made the crazy concoction, calling it sleepy chicken, to make before bed.
What? Yeah. How do you know how much you're eating then?
That's it. It's very dangerous. It's like with the Tide Pods, you know, like I came up with a name for it. I called it Chizzerp, you know, like scissor.
Scissor, but with chicken.
It's Chizzerp. Like lean. It could be purple. It could be pink, but this is, it could be green. Don't eat the chicken if it's still pink, but if it's green with NyQuil, and who is that comedian? Dennis Leary. It was capital N, big fucking Q, NyQuil. You know, I've been on NyQuil since 19. Remember that joke?
No.
Well, NyQuil puts you to sleep. So,
yeah,
I can imagine if you deep fried it in a turkey in NyQuil, you'd probably have a.
I don't even know what that would do. First of all, the flavor is disgusting. Nothing I want less with my chicken than black licorice.
I actually don't mind the flavor of NyQuil.
No, but like with chicken.
Oh yeah, no, that's
you want like star anise, like crushed and put all over your chicken or fennel. Maybe. No,
a little onion. It's the green part. I mean, you don't want to eat green chicken.
It's also medicine. What are you doing?
I know. Oh, yeah, it's a bad idea.
What a fucking chemical shitstorm.
So don't do that, people.
People have to stop putting random shit like this online, like them sunning their buttholes and putting... It's not... Because the thing that I would worry is if I had like a 12-year-old kid...
Who wanted to go famous on TikTok.
No, just like that they would be like home from school waiting for me to get home and they'd make themselves some fucking kill Chizzerp. Yourself chicken. Yeah, some Chizzerp. It's so stupid.
Well.
Stay in school, kids. Just read about things first. Talk to your doctor.
Warn your kids about the dangers of Chizzerp.
No, the
don't
dangers.
Do Chizzerp.
The dangers of saying, I learned this on TikTok and it's a medical kind of base thing, whether, you know, if, including pharmaceuticals, medications, things that could harm your body, like sunning your butthole, all that stuff. Like, talk to a doctor first.
Yeah, I think at this point, the platforms need to step in and
they try
to put a label on it and say this is
crazy,
dangerous, just like in front of Jackass the movie. You know,
I think they should just remove those videos.
I don't know. It's tough.
Moderation. Why should you watch someone make fucking Chizzerp?
I mean, if it was a joke video versus a, I don't know.
No, because someone will take it seriously.
Hey, I saw something in the news.
What did
and you? I thought it was fantastic.
What?
Bella Hadid?
Yeah.
Did you see what they did at Fashion Week?
No.
Now, I'm not one for fashion. Clearly, I've got a shirt that has stain or bleach
it's from
on
his
it.
Face stuff.
Yeah. But, you know, I can recognize when something is innovative, something new, or something I haven't seen before. Mm-hmm.
So like Crocs with heels, like those Balenciaga Crocs that Ryland got, remember?
Mm.
He said they're really comfortable, but they look pretty ridiculous.
Well, this did not look ridiculous, but it was a little saucy. Because, you know, models, they come out half naked. And,
oh, yeah, they'll like be see-through stuff. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
So she comes out, you know, covering her... her
boobies?
Her boobies mm-hmm. with her hands. And she's wearing panties, and that's it. She walks out on stage, but she was walking statuesquely. Mm-hmm. Is that a word, statuesquely?
I know what you mean, though. She's
very
a model.
Very poised, right? The
she's
neck is... They're long and yeah.
Pull, yep. Mm-hmm.
And she strolls on stage and it's dark all around her except for her. And then these guys who look like they're from Sprockets, they come out and they have a table of some sort and they've got what looks to be like these cans. And so she's standing there and just staring off. And then this guy walks up with this.
They paint her?
Yes.
Cool.
They painted her, but check this out. They painted her with fiber. Like this fiber, this spun stuff. So they start painting and she removes one hand off of the abrasive, you know, and then like it sprays. Mm-hmm. But you don't see anything. It's like, it's tastefully done, you know? And then the other hand slides off and she covers her. So she's being painted mm-hmm. and they go around the back of her and down. And next thing you know, there's three people attending, three Sprockets guys mm-hmm. attending to her. And good, you know, she really like kept together. it would be uncomfortable. I would
assume.
She's
a model. It's her job. It's like, you know, you do your thing.
But still, you know, this is live art happening. Mm-hmm. And they put this dress on her that was, it was literally a dress, like fiber was spun or woven in it. It's so weird. Cool to see. Yeah. Here, you can see a photo here. I'll share the link.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. It was amazing.
Like really good performance art.
A white dress. When you said that, I imagined black. I don't know why, but I just imagined that it'd be black.
Yeah. But really cool. I thought, but what I thought about that was if I worked in marketing, which I do not, but if I did, I would, especially if I had the account for Duluth underwear.
You're just, yeah.
I would do that. No, that's my note.
Oh, those are your notes.
Yeah.
Oh.
See, I take these things that I find that I write a little bit.
He has a bit. Sorry. I read your bit and was like, oh, that's a funny take on this.
Yeah. But if I worked at Duluth underwear, I would draw
it's
like.
It's called Duluth Trading Company.
Oh, well, I would do one with the, you know.
The armachillo.
Yeah. The guy. There you go. I would just do something like that for Duluth.
Why would you want your underwear sprayed on?
Well, it'd be funny.
You want it in your butt crack?
No, but I think it'd be a funny like play on things, you know? Oh, so you could get, so you could, get that
you show
out.
That and then you show this guy getting his stuff sprayed. It's like, never show your butt crack. Remember they have the shirt.
That's exactly.
No tuck.
That's
something,
it.
Something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's my joke. Fell on deaf ears, guys. I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Probably people like at home are like, you don't know how to tell a joke. And I don't, but.
Hey, we're working on it.
But I thought. You know, that
if
would
you
be,
don't try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last but not least, and then we can get into letters, I guess. Mm-hmm. What grinds my gears?
Ooh, what grinds your gears?
Litter bugs.
Yeah.
I've talked about this before. People who litter are, I don't know, some of the most inconsiderate people, but I saw something and it just made me think, what a jerk, and throw him down a well. Mm-hmm. And hopefully at the bottom of the well, there's a bunch of rocks and he hits his head.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty aggressive.
And it's a deep well. So like it takes really him a couple hard, of seconds really for to think about his problem and then bang. 20,000 gallons of oil just leaked into Louisiana marshlands.
What in the fuck?
This is an article by Lonnie Lee Hood on September 28th. Big spill. On Sunday, a massive oil leak was detected in Louisiana's St. Bernard Parish. Local news outlet reported that the leak spilled around 20,000 gallons of oil into nearby marshlands and at least one waterway from Entergy substation and may have been caused by criminal activity on site.
Mm.
Yeah. The company said in a statement that, am I reading the wrong article? Yep. Oh, damn it. That's the, oh yeah, here it is. Sorry, there was two articles on this. So,
well, why would that be wrong? It's still the same thing.
It's a different one. There's another oil spill.
Okay, so, hardcore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a man is headed to prison for dumping toxic pollution into the ocean.
A fucking prick. Where'd he get this shit?
Oopsie daisy.
Oopsie daisy.
September
5th,
this article reads, the chief engineer of an unnamed shipping vessel was sentenced to a year.
Just one a year?
In prison for purposefully dumping oily water into the ocean off the coast of Louisiana. Kirill Kompanets, a Russian national, pleaded guilty to both obstruction of justice and the intentional waste water discharge in May this year. According to a Department of Justice press release, Kompanets will also serve an additional 6 months of supervised release.
What?
This fucking idiot, pardon my language. Oh.
Pardon your language. Who cares? How much? What did he do? What was it?
The intentional pollution of U.S. waters and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Do you know what it was he dumped? Does it say how much or any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Here it is. Sorry.
Okay. That's fine.
I had to read down. I didn't want to read the whole article.
For that's fair.
But Kompanets dumped approximately 10,000 gallons of oil-contaminated bilge water overboard in U.S. waters off the coast of New Orleans last year. According
what
to DOJ.
A fuck face.
Punch and then he lied to the Coast Guard in an attempt to cover it all up. So
this, why would you dump? What are you doing?
Probably because it costs money to process it, like to, you know, to hand it off somewhere. But
oh my God, we share these.
1 year and then 6 months.
No, lock him up.
Yeah, well, buddy's going to, you know, disappear back to Russia, I would assume, after his 1 year or 1 year and 6 months.
Yeah.
Man, they should make him clean it up. I don't know how we would do that, but
well, no, but they should fine him. How much is it going to cost
to clean it? And the company
is
part of the whole nine
years. And they should have to clean it. That's what I think. I don't even know if jail time is necessary. I mean, sure, he can serve time, but that doesn't, I mean, a year is enough to teach someone a lesson. Like if you got if you got convicted and had to go to jail for a year.
I mean,
Sean, that's fucking a year in prison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yo, I could do a year standing on my head, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Help, help, get me out of here.
I know, says the germaphobe.
Yeah.
No, good but luck I mean, with that.
You would think that the...
I'll get you soap on a rope.
Right. Thank you.
But they should be forced to clean it up.
Yeah.
Like whatever that means. I'm not...
That
I'm
no, company, like, everything. I mean, this just sounds odd ocean. That you would let someone dump 10,000 gallons of oily water. And so that really made me mad. Litter bugs... Anger
that's
me.
That's like litter bug to the max.
Polluters to yeah, that.
Throw them down extent. A wall. Right.
Yeah.
And then make him clean up
what
his mess.
What a jerk.
What a jerk.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was, oh, that got, I got that off my chest. Ooh, it really glad. Made me angry. Sometimes I read the news and I think, are they intentionally trying to make me angry? The answer is yes. So, you know, I'll see more ads. I'll keep reading. And
random thought that I had, I'm changing gears completely. Because kind of like what grinds my gears adjacent is being at the airport really early. Like way before your flight. So because I went to a conference, everything is like group coordinated. Uh-oh. So if your flight was between the certain range, you had to catch the 2 p.m. shuttle. Well, at 1:30, they're like, you should go to your shuttle. And I was like, it says 2 p.m. And they're like, we should head that way. So we like pull out from the hotel at 2 p.m. In my mind, I was like, shuttle's at 2. You get on at 2. We leave at like 2:30, 2:45. My flight wasn't until 6:36.
Oh.
So we are not that far from the airport. It takes maybe 20 minutes to get there. I get to the airport 2:20. It's way too fucking long to be at an airport.
Hmm. You know what would be nice is if they put a gym at the airport.
No, who wants to be sweaty and gross?
Well, no, then you can get changed, take a shower or whatever. Oh. You know, like a real gym. You know, if you remember,
can you just pay like $10 to use it or something?
Yeah, 24-hour fitness or whatever gym you're part of, your membership works there and you pay like a $5 extra fee or something.
That'd be complicated. But yeah, I think you have to pay a fee. That's a good idea. But what we as a group had decided is that they should sell little sleepy pods.
Oh.
And like you pay and they're like sanitized every time and the sheets, you know, and you could just have a nippy nap. Because I was so tired because a conference is like, it's exciting and exhilarating, but also completely depleting of all of my energies. Hmm. And so by the time I get to the airport, I'm like, oh, like barely staying awake. And we were just there I was there way too fucking early. I walked with my peoples from the conference. We got some Philly cheesesteaks. I got my water. I got a tea from Starbucks.
There's only so many things you can do at the airport. And those chairs are very uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I'm too tired to like do too much that's like productive. So I would have paid for a sleep pod. I could have slept for like 2 hours.
I guess that's why being part of a lounge. Oh, you know, you go in.
I guess I could have gone, but I was flying American, not Delta, like we normally fly.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, and you can pay to use a lounge too. I'd have paid $25 for that shit.
Yeah. But get some work done, sit at not a desk, but you know.
I couldn't. I was too tired. That was the problem.
Anyway,
that's what I think purgatory is. If there is a purgatory, that it's called at the airport, and my flight just keeps getting delayed. Grinds my gears. I'm the type, I pay for TSA pre-check, not because I'm bougie, because I hate being at the airport. And then I get to get there like with an hour to spare. And I love, you and I have it. We do pretty well together. We get there.
We're like the flying Walendas.
We get through TSA. We get food, snacks, water, whatever. And we walk on the plane. Like I don't want to do anything else.
It's like a military operation.
Yeah. I don't want to sit. I don't want to hear somebody's conversation on speakerphone. I don't want to watch somebody
who does that
eat.
People on speakerphones in public, really, that grinds my gears too.
There was a lady behind me on my flight out because I had a really early flight to Philly, and she was on speakerphone talking to her boyfriend or husband or somebody, and it was like the stupidest conversation, but it went on. I was in line to get a bagel, and she was like sassing with him, like, oh, you think you're so smart, blah blah blah, you know, you didn't even wake when I got up this morning. What were you doing? What are you up to today? It was just stupid. And I was like, please, for the love of God, we're standing in a line. Put it through the earpiece and do what normal people do. Put your shoulder up to your ear to hold it. No one wants to hear your stupid ass conversation with your husband or whoever. And he was like, oh, yeah, man. It was just stupid. Every minute I had to listen to it, I felt dumber, Sean. Not necessary.
Imagine how he feels.
Also, who wants to be up at like 7 o'clock in the morning talking about literally nothing?
Yeah.
Stupid. Another grinds my gears. Okay.
Before we get into letters, I'm going to change gears. One last story.
Yep.
Do you know what the difference between a 25-cent cracker and a $2,000 cracker is?
Cracker?
Yeah. Can you tell the difference between a 25-cent cracker and a $2,000 cracker?
Why do you have crackers out here? There's stuff flying all over the place.
I can't tell the difference, but I found out last week.
Oh, because you broke your tooth.
Mother effer. I broke a tooth on a cracker. Now, these are delicious. They're
pretzel slims. We get them at Costco. I don't know.
They're crispy. They're crunchety, tasty.
Delicious.
Some say, and that would be me, that they're too crunchy. So I've eaten a ton of these things, and I figure they cost maybe 2 cents a piece. You know, you get a jumbo bag.
Yeah, I get a giant bag for like $15 or something.
There I was. I had the bowl of crackers. I'm enjoying, some comedy with my beautiful wife. And I'm sitting there and I'm chewing and I'm stuffing these things in my mouth. One after another, like Garfield eating lasagna, you know? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I'm like, ooh, that one's a really crunch. Oh, no. You know, within like 10 seconds, you've broken a tooth.
Yep.
Man, I was at first shocked. And then I was like, did I swallow part of my tooth? Like, you know, you go through all the steps, but that's the difference between a 25 cent, you know.
I wonder where you're going with that. I was like, those are from the same bags. I don't really know.
Yeah. Gosh, they got to come up with a better formula or I have to start using fluoridated toothpaste because.
I don't think it has anything to do with the crackers.
Well, so anyways, I broke a tooth.
Because Sean has veneers, if you don't know.
Yeah.
And I think like they wear out, essentially what the dentist told you. Mm. They didn't say it was cracker induced. Last time he broke a tooth, it was induced by the fact that we got pitted olives and one of them had a pit in it and Sean didn't know and like
fell into the pit of despair.
And was it your incisors or one of this off to the side? Anyway. Yeah.
But they were able to glue that one together and this one they said, no, we can't do that.
Well, it might have broken into too many pieces, which leads me to believe that it is more the tooth problem than the cracker problem.
Anyways, I went to the dentist and they were able to, help me out the next day. Or no, sorry, 2 days later. And,
because it happened on the weekend. So I was like,
oh boy. They really reached deep into my pocket.
It's expensive.
Oh my goodness.
Sean's teeth are expensive.
No, but you know, to have that fix a tooth that's been cracked in half, it was sheared down to the.
Well, it's a veneer too. So I have to get a new veneer, which is like expensive.
Yeah.
Yep. Sean's fancy pants mouth.
Oh boy.
My teeth are almost straight, but I keep having to go back and get
adjustments. Yeah. It's pretty cool technology that you have.
Yeah. It's been pretty great. It's been weird to have like, not my bite change, but like my teeth line up.
Have you ever broken a tooth before? Mm-mm. Mm. I've broken a couple of teeth.
I have had that's kind of a lie and not. When I was in Costa Rica in like 2005, we were out at a bar and you know, people are talking and whatever. And I forget the guy's name. He was part of like the other group. So we had school in the morning and this group had school in the afternoon. And so we'd like kind of see them, but not really. But on the weekends, we'd all, if they're going out, we're all going out to like the same area together. And so one of the guys turned and whacked me in my front tooth with his beer bottle. And it broke off a chunk of this, my front tooth on the right. But I went to the dentist when I got back and they just like smoothed it out. It was just a little and I said, this cost me a lot. I'm going to send him a bill, but it didn't.
One time PJ was playing pond hockey when we lived in Jasper and, he's skating with the puck. It's dusk or whatever. And it's cold out. You can hear the blades on the ice and our other buddies clutching and grabbing. He's reaching around. He's trying to,
pull him and
get PJ off the puck. And they're both dashing full speed. And PJ turns to get him off. And with the butt of his stick, he put it right through his mouth and he shattered his teeth.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And you got to try and find those at dusk on the snow and ice, that you've been skating on.
Who was it?
Paul Bizon.
Oh, Bizon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
He had to have like a post put in and.
That's expensive.
A lot of reparative. That's a hockey thing. Yeah, it's bad.
I mean, really, you guys should have been wearing some mouth guards and a face mask.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
An actual like helmet.
But it happens all the time.
Eh? Oh, I know, because kids are out playing and they don't think anything. It's like I used to ride a bike without a helmet when I was a kid.
That's why they should have Nerf hockey sticks until,
crumple like a fake knife. Oh my God.
Okay. Letters? Well, that's a tooth talk. And we're trying to get a dentist to sponsor this podcast on account of our
all of our tooth
mishappenings.
Our tooth issues.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. There you go.
Okay. Are you ready? We have a letter from Laura, and it is entitled Moths, Dogs.
Moths? The color mauve?
No, moth.
Moth.
And like a moth that flies.
I thought it was different shades of mauve.
Moth, what I like to call nighttime butterflies. Dogs, teeth.
No.
And, yes, teeth and Hank Azaria.
I'm telling you, we live in the frickin' Matrix.
And then this guy's going to walk
Matrix,
by.
Not the Matrix, the Truman Show.
Okay. Dear Sean, Katie, Roxy, et al. From my last letter, the cattery. Remember? She worked in a cattery.
Yes.
First job. Sorry, I didn't explain properly before. Was a boarding cattery where people would take their cats when they went on holiday or something. Gotcha. Like the bubble shed and breakfast.
Oh.
From the Trailer Park Boys. I'm just kidding, Laura. I know it's not at all what that is. I started doing online jigsaws on Jigsaw World app and have tried other apps, but don't like them now because they don't work the same way. It has a lot of jigsaws though, so I don't need more than one app. I'll have to let my mom know. She loves that. Okay. That's from her last letter. Just some updates, some explanations. I appreciate it. Thoughts from random episodes. Moths are cool, but their larvae aren't. They eat clothes and soft furnishings, including expensive woolen coats. Cry face. That's the worst. Moment of silence for my beautiful peacock colored turtleneck sweater that I had that had buttons up the neck.
Uh-huh.
Love that sweater. Wore it twice. And in our fucking Cracker Jack box of an apartment, it got eaten by
the moth hatchery.
We worked in a moth hatchery. We lived in a moth hatchery. And they ate so much into the shoulder. I took it to my tailor and was like, can you do anything with this? And he was like, well, it's going to pucker, but I'll do my best. And I tried to wear it, but it just, it's a sweater. It just doesn't look
right. It looked
right.
Like a Kurt Cobain sweater. It was all pooched out and there was a hole in it. And it's like, I don't.
It was like what then became popular, which was like, the distressed.
Right.
I'll be like, make holes over here, Moz. Make it more.
Can you imagine it? That's something Kanye West would be brilliant enough to think of. Yeah. He's like, this is really good, but we need it to be distressed. We need to look vintage. Let's get some moths. And then someone paints some different shades of mauve. Like, I thought you said mauve, you know?
No, damn it.
Yeah.
He opened for the Balenciaga show.
He walked the runway too. Mm-hmm. He's gotten back into shape, I think.
That's a question I can't answer.
Yeah. No, he looked like a different guy when he was walking there.
He did come out recently and apologize for the things he said and
like,
done.
Like Pete Davidson.
Like bullying him incessantly and like threatening him.
I know, he's threatening a 20-year-old. How old is that kid?
He's like my age.
Okay. No, Pete Davidson's your age?
Yeah, he's like 35 or something.
Oh, I was thinking he was like 23 or something.
No, Pete Davidson's older, but let me pull it up because I think he's around my age.
I thought Kim was twice his age or something like that.
No, she's 40. Or 41.
Hmm.
Oh, he is younger. He's 28. He was born in 93.
And she's like 54 now?
No, she's like 41 or something.
Oh, okay. She's a lawyer, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. She is.
Yeah. Good for her. Making something of her life.
Yeah, she's 41.
Yeah.
Yeah, her birthday.
When did she have time to go to law school?
She's almost 42 because her birthday is October 21st.
Time flies when you're...
She did it. She took her law school stuff at night.
Oh.
So, I mean, people can hate on her, but homegirls like... She's focused.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, she's not out partying. She did that when she was younger, I think a little bit. And,
but she still, she doesn't, she always says like, I don't really drink very often.
Gives her anxiety, I think, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Well, she already has like anxiety induced eczema and stuff. She has like some ailments, stuff like that. Okay. So the larva eat your coats.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Laura. There's a really cute silk moth. We have painted lady caterpillars at the minute. Oh. Painted lady caterpillars. I wonder what those look like.
I'm assuming it's a caterpillar that has a nice painted look to it,
it's pretty.
Some brushed on some mauve and some fuchsia. And
what's with your mauve talk?
Mauve talk.
I think I'm enjoying them more than the kids, but I was considering raising these silk moths just because of how cute they are. Oh, pick attached. Love it. I love when a pick is attached. Oh my God. Look at those pretty things. It's a silk moth.
It's very cool. It almost looks like a owl.
It does. Look how fluffy.
Yeah. So a little bit like a mushroom too, and a spider.
Yep.
A mushroom meets a spider, mm-hmm. and it's trying to disguise itself as a owl, yeah. a snow owl.
Yeah. It's looks like it's just crazy. But look, I mean, look how much fur they have on them.
I know. It's also fashionably just leaning to one side with its hand on its leg. Like
and
this.
Its wings are like up. I know. Silkworm. That's crazy.
Yeah, that silkworm walked the runway at Fashion Week in Paris. I don't know if you know that.
Right.
They used
right.
a magnifying glass.
Right behind Kanye. Yeah. Okay. Dog behavior. We're moving in. We're changing gears. Switching. Pack instinct is to protect other members of the pack when they're going to the toilet, when they're vulnerable, which is why they like to follow you to the toilet. She really does like to follow me to the toilet.
She's standing guard
mm-hmm.
while I'm dropping trow.
Yeah, because we're vulnerable. She does, like, she legitimately just wants to be in the toilet room with me.
Fascinating.
It's funny.
Thank you for letting us. I got your back.
I know.
I'm watching your six.
I do not know why my cats do it, though. Dogs like catnip as well. Most dogs love to rub themselves on random smelly things like sprats, dried fish, or in the case of my friend's dogs, fox poo. No. Roxy is so cute and so brave in comparison to my dog who runs and hides if I even touch the nail clippers. Oh yeah, Roxy more like wants to get her nose in them. She's so curious. Like today I was opening boxes because my mom is coming to stay with us and she bought a pillow because she wants her pillow to be here. I was opening it and she like is all in there. And I'm like, hold on, girl. I got to like snip stuff out. And she's just up in it. Okay. My fault because I accidentally cut the quick when she was a puppy. That's what I was afraid of and why I got the little grinder thing. But that Roxy hates that more and it just takes longer.
She doesn't like anything with a motor.
Mm-mm.
Although, I worked with her with the vacuum this weekend.
Oh, did you?
Yep. So every time, because she attacks the vacuum when
she
I use it.
She barks and goes crazy.
Yeah.
She tries to bite it.
Mm-hmm. So I got the treat bag mm-hmm. and I made her sit and then I gave her a treat and then I went and got the vacuum and she looked agitated. I said, sit. I gave her another treat and I worked with her probably about, it took me 2 hours to vacuum the living room, but she would get a treat every time she just sat there and
she
watched the vacuum.
Doing, yeah. Well, remember when she was really tired after doggy daycare and the little Roomba went by her and she was just like, right. She couldn't have been less bothered. I'm like, where is this dog at?
She's coming.
Mm-hmm. She'll get there. Okay. I want to try the nail grinder thing though. She still won't like it because she's now associated her fear of having her claws clipped with just having me touch her paws. Mm. That was one thing my mom had told me to do when we were getting Roxy. She was like, make sure you touch her paws or tail. Like, so she's comfortable with you touching her so that when you have to do things like that, like even brushing her teeth and stuff, my mom's like, get on that right away. So it becomes like, whatever. And she is like that. Yeah. She doesn't get scared. She doesn't try to bite. She's just like, you know. My cat has no teeth and still eats hard biscuits. Apparently the inside of their mouth or their palate is harder than ours, so they can crunch or masticate. Oh, she's masticate, just showing off. You have a wide vernacular or a wide, what would be another word for that? Lexicon mm-hmm. with it. That's so interesting. My mom's dog, Charlotte, who's coming with her, keeps losing teeth. And that my mom, there's like this little flap of skin she was worried about. And she just took her to the vet and the vet was like, oh, you just normally don't see that because there's teeth there. My mom's like, oh, poor baby. But Charlotte's one of those breeds where her teeth are in the air. Like she keeps them out. That Australian Shepherd, I was telling Sean when we were in the lobby bar of the hotel where we stayed this last weekend at the event, someone brought in a little Australian Shepherd. I think that's what it is. And it was so well behaved and so cute, but its teeth were out. Like,
hmm.
I'm like, what in the, what? I didn't think they did that. But anyway, it was 4 years old. But my mom's vet said that when their teeth are out in the air, they rot more quickly because it's like, you know, bacteria grows. Because it doesn't have your like saliva keeping things moving.
Oh, yeah. I brush Roxy's teeth pretty every second or third day. And yeah, if I don't brush her teeth, then I give her some of the toothpaste because it's got enzymes to break down.
Yeah, it's like a foamy. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Biopic versus biopic pronunciation is supposed to be a generational thing. Although I think I saw that in a comedy program. Maybe Dave Gorman, Modern Life, is goodish. So it could have been just made up for that. So I'm not into skits, I don't think. Well, I'm not that into skits, I don't think. But I like a bit of stand-up. And whatever form of comedy Modern Life is goodish is, a cross between stand-up and panel show type comedy, but without the actual panel. I always want to refer you to Michael McIntyre's bit about names, because Sean, it's spelled S-H-A-U-N, S-H-A-W-N, and S-E-A-N. If you haven't seen Michael McIntyre's stand-up, you should watch Showtime, in particular, his OTDMs on names, including Sean.
Oh, okay.
His opinions that don't matter. I appreciate that. And she puts a link to a YouTube video.
We'll put that in our description.
You guys can check it out. I got my skirt stuck in an escalator one time.
I'd be afraid it just
ripped my clothes off, right? I'd be so scared. Oh my God. I had time to think I was going to die before it came out on its own as the escalator flattened out at the top. Thank God. I would have like tried to rip. I don't know. I would have had a panic. I'd be afraid my clothes were going to get ripped.
It's like a cheesy 80s movie, you know, like Porky's or something.
Yeah, where it pulls all your clothes off. I can imagine. But I think death by escalator is quite rare. But just thought of the bit in Elf where Buddy's scared to get on. Yeah, remember? We should watch. Well, we're getting into Christmas. We'll watch it again. He's scared to get on the escalator and he leaves one foot on the ground and ends up doing the splits. Yeah, because he's like, not ready. Chock-a-block. I don't know why, but it was in my notes. Those are her other notes. What were we talking about? Chock-a-block.
I think it was a saying and we weren't sure what it meant.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, it meant everything or full of something.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it means. I didn't retain that knowledge.
I was like, she's like, I don't know why, but it was in my notes.
It was in my short-term memory. We talked about it and I, for some reason, didn't process it in my long-term memory.
It fluttered away.
Yeah.
Like a silk moth. Okay, moving on. I lost my wisdom teeth, literally. When I was in my late teens, they started coming through, but they'd get so far and they'd stop and the skin would grow back over and then they'd break through the skin again, the painful bit, and stop and get covered over again. It happened about 5 times. I wasn't going to the dentist regularly at the time, so I didn't really ask them about it. So when I did go to the dentist, maybe at age 22, I asked her about it. So they did an x-ray and she said, I didn't have any wisdom teeth. She showed me the x-ray. They had disappeared.
What? Your body reabsorbed them?
I've Googled this, and it seems like other people have Googled the same thing, but no one's actually published anything about it. I'm thinking because of the OTDM listeners are a font of knowledge on unusual medical things, someone might know something about it. It sounds like your body absorbed them or something.
Yeah. I'm not a doctor.
Can our bodies break bone down? Because aren't teeth
bone? If you're hungry enough, I guess. Nah, I don't know. I mean, I've never heard of your body. Well, okay.
Okay.
What is osteoporosis? Is that your body taking calcium from the bone?
Yeah, to do other things, I think. Let me look it up. I'm not 100% sure.
It's when you don't, I don't know what it is.
Because you get older is usually when it happens, but it can happen in my eating disorder patients too.
Right. You're lacking a nutrient. So your body, does it steal it from it? Like, because you know, your body cannibalizes.
Okay. It says, so osteoporosis is, if you don't know, is a condition in which bones become weak and brittle. The body constantly absorbs and replaces bone tissue. With osteoporosis, a new bone creation doesn't keep up with the old bone removal.
I wonder if you have hyper osteoporosis of the jawline.
Of the tuphesis.
Tuphesing.
Osteotuphorosis.
Ah, we've discovered something new. Oh my God. What the medical community could not figure out on OTDM just through Google and a light conversation.
A little bit of Wikipedia, a light read of WebMD.
We know what's going
conversation.
On.
Conversation.
Yeah. We should get naming rights to this disorder. The code. This malady.
I mean, it's kind of nice.
Or superpower. I mean,
it's kind of nice that you didn't have to have them taken out, but you had the pain anyway because they were like breaking through, skin going over.
You're like Wolverine, you know, but
maybe when she needs, they will come out again.
Like a shark.
But it's like way back there. So you're like,
right.
It's not very scary.
No. I mean, it is if you're a piece of steak or something, but anyways.
Yeah. Okay. It says, also, can anyone help me find this Reddit/Quora, can't remember, thread about temperatures that really tickled me? It was something like 100 degrees in one part of the US and they're in sunglasses and flip-flops, and 100 degrees in another part and they're wrapped up in a hat and scarf. I don't remember that bit very well, but then someone added $100 degrees in the UK and a picture of a guy on fire running through the street. It's a funny meme that she'd like to get a hold of. It's a thread. I find those on Tumblr and it really cracks me up when people will like comment below.
There are certain sites that I missed the boat on. and usually I'm on most sites kind of plugging around, mm-hmm. but Quora, does it still exist?
I read it every day.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's funny. Although it's good and it's funny, it depends. So, because I obviously, Quora knows what I like.
Yeah.
It knows what I like and what I end up clicking through. So lots of mental health stuff. I also randomly have gotten a lot about Harry and Meghan, the non-royal family. I don't know.
Chantilly lace.
Yeah, exactly. Not a pretty face. Anyway, so I get stuff about them, and then I get a lot of stuff about random celebrity stuff, you know. I think it's just like because they're just trying to see what I click through and what right. I enjoy.
Maybe it's owned by like People Magazine or something. Quora is their online.
No, because people pose questions. So I do know from TK, a member of our community, that you get paid to pose questions.
Pay and to
she
play.
Was doing
like
this
it.
For a while. Like if it's a good question and a lot of people want to reply or get excited about it, I think you get more. I don't know, TK, you have to correct me if I'm
that's
wrong.
That's a good business model.
But she was doing it for a while as like a kind of a helpful extra income. And I was like, oh, interesting. But so people pose questions and then people who either have experience or professionals, whatever, share. And the ones that get the most upvotes, like rise
you get
to the
paid
top.
By being a popular question.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Exactamundo.
Nice. Okay. I'm on Reddit, you know, sometimes.
See, I don't really get in Reddit that much.
Well, but it's a dumpster fire and people are very mean to me. So I don't, I go in and then I run away. I'm like, they're so mean, you know, because yeah. I'm always told, no, you're not allowed to post here. I'm like,
oh,
what's with your exclusionary club? You know, I'm just like trying to.
Because you're not part of the group.
No,
you
I joined the group.
You have to ask for permission or something.
Yeah. And then it's just, it's weird. I don't know. I don't get it. And,
I don't spend any time there.
So. Plus there's so much negativity on that platform. It's like Twitter, but times 10.
Well, then they don't have any character limits, right?
Yeah.
At least Twitter keeps the hate to.
I'm sure there are also positive rate. Communities as well, but I just, I don't know. I never find a sense of community there.
Brent from our community used to spend a lot of time in.
If you're on Reddit and you understand it, let me know in the comments because, or in an email to OTTMpod@gmail.com. Cause I'm really trying to understand like, and if you have a lot of, I think they call it karma there. Basically like you're interacting a lot and, or if you run a community, let me know. I'm curious, to know how it works.
Okay.
I guess I could Google it too, but.
Probably, but I'd rather learn from our community.
Our trusted community.
I trust them more.
Mm-hmm.
Next topic.
Yes.
Hank Azaria is always bug to me. I do this a lot. I do this a lot with famous people because that's the first thing I remember seeing him in. Oh, it's funny how you do that though. You really do. It's like, when I see Jim Halpert from The Office, aka John Krasinski.
Little Jimmy Halpert?
He's always Jim Halpert to me. Mm. You know, or like Rachel from Friends. You know, it happens. You get like cast in something that's like.
The first time you meet them as an actor in a TV show or a movie.
Yeah, and if it goes on for a long enough time, you're like, well, they're always that. Okay, so Hank Azaria is always bugged to me. He was in Now and Then. He was Gabby Hoffman's Sam's really mom's boyfriend. Rumor Willis is so cute. She's her little sister. I loved Now and Then. That was a teen girl film.
Oh,
I had it on VHS. Okay. And she called him Bug instead of Bud because she didn't like him. I remember that. If I got all of that right, I'll be quite impressed by my memory because I haven't watched that movie since I was like 14 or 15 and that's over 20 years. I really want to watch it and see if I'm right now. I know I want to Google, but I will push forward because Sean and I have gotten distracted enough in your letter and I apologize. Okay. Now we're moving on to pogos.
Pogos.
I used to be quite good at pogoing. Autocorrect changed that too. I used to be quite good at pooing. Sometimes I want to tell people what the autocorrect tried to do.
I'm not so good at pooing anymore. When I was younger, I could make a...
When I would type in Sean sometimes, but Sean's without the apostrophe when I was like trying to text things, it would change it to Islam. Like, what? But the letters must be close on like, when you're really...
Did you mean Islam?
I'm like, I never mean that. I never typed that in my life. Okay. I used to be quite good at pooing. Also, the space hopper / pogo ball and unicycling, all the things that involved having good balance. Oh, so she's really good at that. Quite good at those things.
Okay, so it was pogo hopper ball?
Hopper / pogo ball.
I don't know what that is.
Is that where you're on? Like, is it a ball at the bottom and you bounce on the ball?
Oh, that would make sense, yeah.
And unicycling. And the best way to get off of any of them is?
Falling?
Just to jump.
Oh, okay.
Jump off. Pew.
Man, sometimes you see people on unicycles and you're like, that dude's trying too hard. I remember Montreal, there was like a unicycle movement for a while.
What?
Yeah. And I was like,
you guys already have the shittiest roads and weather.
Exactly. So they're extremists, you know, and they'd always be at like Mont-Royal, you know, Mount Royal and on the weekend and they're, you know, they're hipsters, but they'd be on unicycles and like they're tearing around.
So there's always been hipsters. You heard it here first.
Doing tricks and stuff. You're like, eh. I mean, it's cool if you do it, but
yeah,
it's just, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Never really got into the unicycle movement myself. I'm not a...
Like I said, we had that one guy in my school. He could ride it, but he did all the magic and stuff. I wonder where he is now. Where
are you now? Oh, he did magic on the unicycle?
Well, no, but that was like part of his show. Remember I was telling his sister Jill and him?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anderson was their last
name. Pick a card, any card.
Yeah, yeah. He would do... He'd come... He was so much older than us. He'd come down to like... elementary school or middle school and do like his thing.
Would he ride his unicycle all the way to the school?
No, but he would ride it in his show. He'd like, it was like a thing. He'd like be juggling and riding it around or something. I remember there being a unicycle in
it. What do you think his goal was? To get a full ride scholarship to clown college? What do you think?
I don't know. He was actually really smart. I think he, I mean, he was so much older. I don't know, but I know.
Like he was so smart. He invented a unicycle with two wheels, you know?
No, but he did really well in school. So I'd assume he went on to be. Probably he's probably an engineer. Who knows?
I was being mean there. I shouldn't have that. Yeah. I was just throwing.
He's just
jabs.
Doing his thing.
I know.
Okay.
I'm just jealous because I don't know how to ride a unicycle, and I would like to be able to ride a unicycle. Hmm. I think it's kind of cool. Secretly, I was jealous.
Okay.
So I used, you know, meanness as a defense mechanism.
Yeah. Spine's out. Okay. She says, "I want to hear Sean's haunted hotel story." I believe his story about the parade that gave him anxiety. And I'm also really easily startled by loud noises, etc. I have some ghost / UFO stories and some relating annoyances over another podcast stealing my story.
What?
And claiming it all happened to them in college. What? Why would you do that? How hard is it just to say, hey,
I heard someone else say
I heard this and I thought this story was really cool. Like I'm working on my talk for the tour. And I just heard a woman share about Apollo 13 and the way that they like used uncommon objects. Hers was like about being resourceful and using what you've got. And I was like, oh, I love that part of it for what I'm going to do. And I talked to her. I was like, do you mind if I like take part of that and use it in my speech? She's like, of course. She's like, it's not my story. It's Apollo 13. And I was like, oh, okay. And I'll still say, I heard a woman speak about this. You know, I'm not going to pretend that I came up with it by myself. How rude. Because I trust you guys not to steal my words and then not read them in a really crappy way, like their crap, untrue, boring way. Jerks. It still annoys me a bit. I can feel it and I understand. But I thought I'd put it in a separate email. Then you could save it for Halloween if you like. Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We have to figure out what
we should do a Halloween special. That's when we'll have our ghost stories.
And we'll have, yes.
Stay tuned. Because some weird stuff has happened that I've been around. And not that I really, but you know, there was some stuff and I don't really talk about
it. Send in your weirds, your Halloween stories in general. Spooky, scary, yeah. Funny costumes, embarrassing things that happen.
If you were kidnapped by aliens, you know, I want to hear about that too.
Okay.
Let's talk about it for
Let's
our Halloween
talk
episode.
About it. Okay. We have another voice memo or whatever you want to call it from our correspondent from Virginia. Tom, and it is entitled Moron Coach. Remember Coach running after that person?
Oh, I thought you were saying Moron Coach. Like Coach was a moron.
partially. Classic clothes and 70s decor.
Ooh. Hey, Katie and Sean, just wrapped up watching the podcast on Labor Day weekend and job well done. And just figured I'd take some time to tell another story or two about my coach and talk a little bit about classic movies and classic clothing. Hey, speaking of my leg lamp the other week, did you all know that there is a sequel to the movie A Christmas Story?
What?
It's called My Summer Story, and I think the release date was sometime in 1994. It's a well-done movie, though, for being a sequel. I know most of the time the sequels aren't as good as the first one. But Macaulay Culkin's little brothers played Ralphie and Randy, so try to locate that one. I know I have it on DVD, and you all may enjoy it. As for classic clothing, I'm reminded of one more movie that has some pretty good clothing. It was the movie with Tom Hanks and Leonardo DiCaprio, Catch Me If You Can.
Frank Abagnale Jr.
I have to pause because I want to, first of all, I love the tippity taps, Tom. I always know his dog is there and I really like that. Do you hear it in the background? Catch Me If You Can is so funny and still is the reason that Sean and I both will periodically say, I should have concurred. Did you concur? If anybody's seen it, it's when he's pretending to be a doctor, which is scary. And he always just like lets them kind of tell him what to do. And then says, I concur. Do you concur to the other doctors?
When that book came out from, did I get water?
Yeah, when you drank water, it was splashed up on your face.
When that book came out, the Frank Abagnale Jr. book, I was like, what? This guy did what? And some
it's
people-
wild. Well, wild,
some
I
people
say.
Said it wasn't true, but most of it's confirmed.
Yeah.
And he was a security expert after he was released from prison. Very, very fascinating individual.
Yeah.
And the stuff that he pulled off, I especially enjoyed the pretending to be a Pan Am pilot. That was really cool. And so that's how he got around with jump seat tickets. But
it's crazy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm sure everyone has seen it out there, but when he ends up in prison in Turkey, I think it is, that's, I mean, just terrible.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And then he gets to go to Sweden.
That's what happens when you're like a con man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you get caught.
Yeah. It was, but it's such a good film. If you haven't watched it, I encourage you to watch it. Even knowing what happened, it still is fun to watch it. Yeah. You know? Okay. Back to the...
But good fashion, yes, in the movie.
Yeah, love it. Okay. Back to Tom.
Sharp-looking suits like the dad was wearing. And also, they're wearing summer tuxedos in the scene with the engagement party. And there's some more classic clothing for people like us that... or impressed by it. But anyway, I'll tell another one on my coach here. Katie said her grandpa dressed a lot like him and had a 70s type decor going on in his house. And I'll be damned if this coach doesn't have the same thing going. Maybe they're related, but I went over to visit with him when he had some surgery on his shoulder and it was 70s yellows and orange shag carpeting. Guys obviously never spent any money on anything. I'd get that stuff the hell out of there and replace it with something more modern. But anyway, you can probably hear my dog. He's starting to fuss a little bit in the background. But just a couple funny stories about him that come to mind.
Okay.
This guy is so damn unpredictable about where he shows up. He might be early. He might be late. He may be a no-show for some bizarre reason, but anyway, when I was in the hospital years ago, I don't know how he found out I was there, but I'm laying there, my side's hurting because my lungs are blocked up with blood clots, and they're giving me this pain reliever that's some pretty strong stuff, although I'm pretty with it. I look out in the hallway and I see that goddamn comb over. I said, oh, son of a bitch, he came up to see me. I tell my dad and brother, hey, why don't you all open the door? Old coach is out in the hallway and he's wanting to see me. They said, you're hallucinating. Those pain meds got to you. I said, well, if you don't believe me, open the door. Well, they open it and there he is. He's wearing a polo shirt. White jean shorts and cowboy boots.
What?
And he steps in the door. He said, well, I hear that you're having some trouble with blood clots, you see. And then he starts rambling about this book that he's writing about lifting. And then starts telling us about how his girlfriend wanted a new TV for her birthday. And how he had to get the guy that was dating her daughter to help him load it up at Sam's Club. And I mean, this guy just jumps from one subject to another. There's no real connection between the two. You just kind of stand there and shake your head yes. And he gets on a roll and has no idea that he's boring the hell out of the people he's telling a story. And my brother...
Eccentric, so you know.
My brother's sitting there. He's like, oh, my God. And then he said, well, I hope you get better. You see, we'll see you when you come out of here. And they shut the door, and my dad's like, don't laugh, don't laugh. Anyway, he texts me a couple days later when I'm home, and he says, I got this complimentary copy of the book for you, you see. And he shows up, and here I am standing there, just got out of the shower. I said, hey, give me a chance to get dressed and I come down and he's found a pen in my living room. He said, who do I make this out to? Being all official about this damn book. But anyway, his mom died back in, I think, 2018 or 2019. And I found out about this and I went to pay my respects. And you know, at a funeral home, there's typically like a lobby area and the visitation room slash chapel or whatever is kind of sort of in the back. And that's where they keep the family. Well, anyway, I go to open the door. And there he is. It's like he just jumps right out in front of me. I'm like, oh, my God, he's wound up today. I said, hey, I'm real sorry to hear about your mom. You know, is there anything I can do for you and whatnot? And, well, you see, mother died the other day, you see, and she didn't want a funeral, you see. So we're going up the hill in a half hour, you see, and we're just going to get it over with, you see. Oh, my okay. God, we're just going to go up the hill and get it over with. Damn.
He's.
I wonder what Katie's take would be on a guy like this. I mean, I know some people have a hard time showing emotion and they kind of cover it by mm-hmm. pretending that it doesn't bother them. But damn, even if my parents died, I don't think I'd say we're gonna go up the hill in a half hour and get it over with.
Pragmatic.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't know. This will probably come out in 2 or 3 weeks, but hope everybody by that point's enjoyed the holiday weekend and is carrying on and getting through the second half of the year. And y'all have a good day. Great job with the podcast, Katie and Sean.
Well, thanks,
Tom.
Thank
you, Tom.
Wow, what an eccentric character.
I find him very interesting. The fact that he always says, you see, I find that interesting.
But now I'm going to have this image. Every time I hear of Coach, he's going to have a comb over, yep. a golf shirt, jean shorts, and white cowboy
white
boots.
White jean shorts, I thought he said.
Oh, white jean shorts. Okay, yeah.
And cowboy boots.
This is how, you know, when a crime is committed, people screw things up. Let me tell you, the guy who robbed us, he's wearing jean shorts and white cowboy boots. No, there were white jean shorts and regular, you know, you don't get the details right. But this guy sounds like a pretty interesting character. It reminds me of a character that you'd get, like a real eccentric in like King of the Hill or something, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I find him very interesting and very funny. And Tom does a great job of like painting the picture of him.
Yeah. But a thoughtful guy that he stopped by the hospital and checked in on you.
I think he really cares about you. There's like definitely a close relationship there, even though, and it might be generational, Tom. I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts about stuff like that because even my papa, my grandpa, not my mom's dad, the one with the comb over, but my dad's dad who did not have a comb over, he wasn't super emotional either. Like he wasn't like, I don't know. He was definitely more of a, like a, what's the word I'm looking
stoic.
For? Stoic type of guy. And I had talked to my dad about it way back, obviously, like before he passed away. So it's been many, many, many years. And he had said something about the fact of like the James Dean generation and the like Clint Eastwoody type people. Mm. And he compared his dad to that and said like, well, that's kind of like what they were raised on was like this very...
Yeah, social norms have definitely changed for the last 100 years. Like the way people present themselves, as opposed to how they were traditionally, how people presented mm-hmm. themselves 100 years ago is vastly yes. different.
And I do think it did a disservice to people because there is pain there, or there is upset, and nobody knows how to deal with it. I know that we probably have like more drug and alcohol addiction now still, but I would be interested. Things just weren't documented back then, so you don't really know what was going on. But I think you know, there's probably a lot of numb out. I would assume.
Mm. Interesting.
But yeah, the pain is obviously still there. Like you said, Tom, like I would never be like, go up the hill and get it over with. Like even if it was a complicated relationship or if you were like, I can't really cry right now. You wouldn't just be like, we're going to go get it over with.
Yeah.
But he might have been maxed out. Babe, you know.
Yeah. I wonder. So my time will come at some point, maybe not for another 150 years. I'm guessing I'm shooting for 200. Mm-hmm. But when my time does come, I often think about, not in a morbid way, but
Sean's terrified of death.
Well, I'm not terrified, but I'd like to, you know, keep it at bay as long as I can. Mm-hmm.
Understandable.
I'd heard once, you know, why should I be worried? Because when I'm here, death isn't. And when death is here, I'm not here. So, you know, what
sounds like a Barryism.
Yeah, no, it was, but maybe Camus or someone. No, Anyways, doesn't matter. And the point being, you know, when it, when my time comes, like how do you want to be celebrated? If anyone's going to celebrate me, or am I a curmudgeon that no one celebrates? I hope that there's some impact, not to make this about me, because Tom, you know, sent in a nice story.
Tom and Coach.
But, you know, I hope people just don't take me to the top of the hill and dump me out of the wheelbarrow.
Why
know,
would we do that?
Down the
we
other side of the hill. That. What I would like to
we
have happen.
We already have plans in our will, don't we?
Nah, I think mine was like, just throw me in the ocean or something. But I've thought of something more. So I'd like to make an amendment to our will.
Well, you have to talk to Liz, our lawyer.
I'll just tell you.
You're going to have to talk. You have to do it. You can tell me, but you're going to have to make
tell you
some
what,
moves.
What I'm thinking of right now?
Sure.
Okay. So we're going to have to find a company that is going to assist us with this, because it's not a very complex process, but the first process is you're going to put me in an oven and cook me down to like a little, you know, little dust bits. Cremated. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. And then I need you to contact a fireworks company, you know,
okay,
and pack me into a firework.
Okay.
And then shoot me up into the sky and, you know, there's a big thing and it's a picture of me with thumbs up, you know?
Oh, okay.
And we're like, thank you, Jesus. You know, one of those. And that would be the best, you know, send off. I'd just
as
be like,
you rain down everywhere on top of people.
Well, I'd just be in the air, just dust in the wind. All we are is dust. And I want that playing in the background. Dust in the wind.
That will always remind me. Things, you know, like that will remind me of the Big Lebowski when they go to throw him into the wind.
Oh, God.
He's like,
yeah, that's why you got to get up into the atmosphere a little higher, you know, so the pollution gets, I'm not pollution, but at that point I'm being repatriated back to the earth or atmosphere.
Yeah. I mean, I want to be cremated as well.
But do you think they could do that for me? Make it like a firework show that, you know, it was like, it didn't have to look exactly like me, you know, but maybe just an outline of a bald guy.
A bald guy with a thumbs up. It's,
and you know, I'm up there in heaven or wherever in hell, and I'm like, I'm viewing it, you know, because you get to see your send off. Because I think that's how it works. You get
is
a little window.
Okay,
yeah, you get on a TV set if you're in purgatory. You know, you're trying to dial in, and you see it, and you're like, oh, okay, there's celebrate. Some people showed up at my party. Good. Oh, the food looks good. That's good. You know, the firework goes off. You're like, oh, they didn't even hire a good artist. You know, it's just like I look like Charlie Brown with a thumb up. You know.
At least you don't look like Garfield, you know.
Right, right. That'd be interesting.
Maybe that's what we do, is Garfield with thumbs up.
Yeah, I'd be okay with any of it, you know, as long as people laughed and had a good time and there was good music.
Okay.
Yeah, and dancing. Because I never...
You don't dance.
Well, that's it. You got to dance for me. My final wish, everyone, is for you to dance for me. Dance like I've never danced before.
I was telling this woman...
A dance-a-thon.
This woman, Michelle, at the conference.
Yeah.
Because we had to stand up and dance. It was part of our, like, I forget what they called it, but we had these little breaks where it was like a recharge.
Yeah.
One of them we did meditation. One of them we danced. So anyway, one of these we're dancing, and her and I are, you know, really feeling the beat. And I had told her that you don't dance. You know, when they say we're going to dance, I was like, Sean would hate to be here because he really doesn't dance. And we're doing it. And I was like, we finished. And I said, the funny thing about Sean is that he learned to play guitar recently. And through that, we realized that the reason he doesn't like to dance is because he doesn't have any rhythm.
I mean, I think I have some rhythm. It's just really offbeat. Again, I've mentioned this before. It's just a crazy rhythm. Yeah, it's jazz, baby.
He's on his own rhythm.
He's a jazz dancer.
Jazz dancer.
Hold me closer, jazzy dancer.
Well, I didn't realize it until we were trying to clap along to something. And it was like hard for you to keep up with it. And I realized at that point that I don't really know how to tell you about it other than like to feel it. Cause then Michelle said, well, can't he just feel it? Like it's happening.
I feel attacked. All right, moving on.
Okay.
Starting to feel my hands are sweaty. That's how I know I'm feeling attacked.
How is that even attacked? We've already talked about this.
I'm
on the
sitting
pod.
Underneath these bright lights and I
oh,
have
my goodness.
Fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. These are my options.
What
or
are you
forget
doing?
About it.
Sean usually hits the forget about it button.
Just tune out. I felt attacked and then I forgot about it.
It was interesting when his sister was visiting, she was recounting certain things or whatever. And Sean would be like, I don't remember that at all. And then you would recount stuff and she's like, I don't remember that at all. And I was like, you guys both hit the forget about it button. Forget yep. about a loop and delete. Control, alt, delete. I think that's all the time we have. For today, correct?
Yeah.
That we talk too much.
Well, we don't talk too much. We talk just the right amount.
We have We have another letter from Tinkerbite.
Okay.
About the Halloween stories. So we can save that. We have a couple more from Tom. We have a lot of others we've got. Thank you guys for sending in your letters.
If any politicians are out there, feel free to write in and let us know, you know, what you're feeling as we go into the election cycle. You know, if you want to call in and leave us a voicemail.
Why would we want to do anything like that?
Just kidding.
Everybody
this
hates
is not
politics.
A place for you to bring your politics, all right?
Nope. Keep it out.
Politics.
The opinions don't matter.
But that's it. What do they say in a bar? No religion, no politics?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay, before we end. So I listen to this local country radio station, 98.1, Austin's. Oh.
Finest?
No, it's like Austin's, not old school country. I think classic country is what they call it. And it's good.
What do they got? Like Loretta Lynn, Hank?
They have some of that, but a lot of it's from like the 80s and 90s.
Okay. Travis Tritt, Alabama.
Sometimes, not very often, but yes.
I don't know that many names.
Yeah, I was like, keep going. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anywho's.
Who sings That's the Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia?
Oh, that's the redhead Reba McEntire.
Reba. I like Reba. She's a good guitarist.
Reba. She is.
That's one thing I think about country music that I like classic country, like Marty Stewart. Have you ever listened to Marty Stewart before?
I don't know. You'd have to put a song on them.
It's 50s and it's
probably not
so
them.
Good. Oh.
That was more like my pop. I mean, Conway Twitty's kind of in there too.
That's what I thought. As soon as I heard it on Instagram, someone used it as a backing track. And I was like, I know that song. It's so good. It's like 50s country and western, and you know, it makes you feel like you're a gunfighter, you know, because I don't know, it was in all the western stuff or TV shows of westerns like Paladin, you know, and stuff like this. So anyways, I was walking Roxy the night listening to Marty Stewart, and it was nighttime, and I was like, oh, I feel like such a
Texan.
Gunslinger Texan, you know. Yeah. Until I saw some local toughs, and then I ran away.
Ran away.
No, I'm just kidding.
I ran away.
But it was really good to listen to this old music. And as I was walking, this one song was on. And I was like, you know, it made me think of your grandfather because he really liked C&W.
Of course.
Clocks and waterways. No, country and western. He loved it. And although I never listened to it with him, there's a story that stands out to me. One time he was going hunting with your father and I believe your grandfather's nephew, so your dad's cousin.
So would that be Amanda's dad?
Yes. And they were going hunting into
my cousin's dad.
Montana, maybe?
My Uncle Rick is like not known for being very chatty.
Right. And the three of them, maybe there's a fourth, they're in a pickup truck heading to Montana from Washington. Yep, so
doing their hunting trip, their annual hunting trip.
12 hours, four, I don't know how long it takes to get
about
there.
12, 13.
Right.
Depending on what part of Montana.
So your dad falls asleep. And the other guy, he's got on Fleetwood Mac Rumors. Was it Rick? I don't know. One of these guys, he's putting Fleetwood Mac Rumors on, which is a great album, by the way. I mean,
I think
especially
it's Rick,
at that time, massive hits.
You'll tell me more and then I'll assure you who it is.
Well, your grandfather, like, so I think it was on cassette probably.
Probably.
Or maybe 8-track, probably 8-track at that time. And they get to the end of it and he flips it over and your grandfather grabs it. As he's flipping, he goes, nope. That's no about more. All we're going to listen to that. And you know, at the time, he's the alpha male, you know. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine because your grandfather's a tall guy. And
he can be kind of intimidating.
He was very serious. When I met him, he was always like telling me jokes and everything.
Yeah.
But I could picture him in that moment, you know, nope. And
you know how he would say it too.
Yep. Nope.
That's
we're going to the country and western station. And he sure as shit. You know,
he was probably driving too.
Yes. And I think that was part of his story too. He's like, not while I'm driving, you know? But as I was walking down the street at night, listening to this Western music, I just had a flashback of your grandfather and sitting in it might've been like the first couple of times I'd met him, but sitting I really treasured sitting in their dining room, had the smell of bacon, and just shooting the breeze and picking his brain. Cause here's a guy who has a totally different life than mine.
Yeah, very interesting.
He's also a part of your life. And I get to find information out about him. And I was like, oh, you know, he's telling me some interesting things. And I'm sure he's trying to have an interesting conversation with me.
He also just likes to chit chat with people.
Yeah.
Not crazy talk, but he likes to talk. Him and grandma both. That's why we would just sit there and talk for a few hours.
Fascinating, man. He had one brother who was a bit older, who unfortunately passed away in the second world, during the Second World War. He was mm-hmm. killed in action. Mm-hmm. He had another brother who was killed
in a logging accident.
Yeah, as a logger, as many people in Washington State were. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, logging, wow, I really don't know much about it. I know jack about it. Like, I've only seen...
I don't know much either, even though I have a lot of family members who've done it.
Yeah, and we had this cartoon in Canada, The Log Rider's Waltz, and I loved it. I've probably shown it to you, but it's like this mm-hmm. thing that they would always show on CBC. It's fantastic animation and a great song. Anyways, that's all I knew about logging. So I was talking about it, and he said, oh, yeah, I used to love... Sometimes when we were logging and falling trees, you know, you'd have this massive tree, and you got to get it moving. So, you know, you'd get there, and how do you get... It's come down, but we got to get it moving. So you pack it full of dynamite. And I'm like, dynamite, you say? Go on. He's like, oh, you like, you know, you like dynamite?
Like, we're
so
on the same
both,
page here.
We both light up, you know? I'm like, wow. He's like, oh yeah. Sometimes you put, and I forget the amount, but it was like pounds of dynamite. It's like, you had your hands on, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And the blasting caps. And he'd explain that they'd pack the tree and they'd blow the shit out of it. Like, it would be a massive explosion in the forest. I was like, this sounds fucking exciting, but also very dangerous.
I was just thinking, like, things flying and also your hearing. And,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they wouldn't stand right there when it happened, but...
Well, of course not, but just things like that that you think, like, nowadays there's so much regulation, and back then it was just like,
yeah,
whatever.
In the middle of nowhere, you know, they're falling a big tree. And I remember him telling me that the tree was, like, just completely obliterated. Mm-hmm. And he's like, maybe... Just maybe we put a little too much.
A little less. We should do a little less dynamite.
It's like, fair enough. Fair enough, Dean. And anyways, I just remember that. Well, I don't just remember, but that's one of the stories. And it was weird how memories lead to each other, because as I was walking Roxy in dusk and my mind was relaxing and I was listening to Marty Stewart, this great country and Western, I'll put a link in the description down below. And it just made me think about Dean and mm-hmm. these interesting stories or interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a shame. You think, oh, all I have left is stories, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the memories.
Yeah. But at the same time, I feel really fortunate that I had a chance to talk to him, because it enriched my life.
Time. Yeah. I think that's the thing, is you can never get the time back. So it's nice to spend it, you know, when you have it.
Yeah.
It's like even with your grandma. I'm always grateful that we had her part of the wedding and she got to do that stuff, because you just don't know how much time you have left. And I'm glad I went and saw my grandma before she passed. Like, because mm-hmm. remember, it was like last minute, I forget what happened. Oh, it was with Roxy mm-hmm. because she got spayed and she was supposed to stay with her foster mom and then she couldn't. And so we were like, well, fuck, now we don't have boarding. And she just had her surgery.
Yeah,
and
so I stayed behind.
Mm-hmm. And so I went without you. And I'm glad I did, because I didn't get another chance to see her. And you never want to go back when they're not there. Do you know what I mean? Like, for the funeral, you could go for the funeral, but like, I wanted to have time with her.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's crazy. Time goes quick.
Yeah. Well, you had a special one with the grandparents, and I feel fortunate to have got to have met both of them.
Yeah.
And, I wasn't expecting this conversation to go there at the end of the podcast, but there you have it.
But yeah, if you have fun stories from your family and your grandparents and, yeah, I think those things are kind of fun.
I would like to know about everyone's grandparents out there, actually.
Yeah, because like my papa grew up with like a dirt floor and his mom died giving birth to him. He was the baby and he was the fifth child, two sisters, two brothers and him. And his dad raised him.
It's
well, his
wild.
Sisters really raised him.
Yeah.
Ruby and Jude.
What a different generation. Like this, we seem so far removed from that. But we're not. We're only like two people away, you know, mm-hmm. or one person away. So it's strange.
Yeah, that's a cool thing. He like made a life for himself and a family. And yeah.
If you have any stories about your grandparents, we'd love to hear them.
Yeah. And even like, I mean, we can talk about this another time.
But or
like,
your parents.
I shared this a little bit, like about my grandma Pearl coming across being a milliner, being a hat maker, and all the beautiful hats she had. You know, everybody has these cool stories. So feel free to share them. I find that really interesting.
I wish we had some of your grandmother's hats.
I know. I would do too.
They take up so much room.
They're huge. And at the time I was in college, I was even younger. I was like 12. And my mom kept a bunch of them because she loved them too. But then I think at some point she felt bad like holding on to them when she wasn't using them. And I think she like sold them to people as they wanted them. But
any
I'll have to ask her.
Or sketches?
We might have photos. I'll have to ask my mom.
Okay.
We'll have to see what she has. Because I was too young. Like, I was 11 or 12 when she passed. So, it's like so long ago in my memory. But yeah, if we can get some of that stuff, I'll share it with you guys. It's really, really cool.
Awesome.
Okay, thank you guys for sending your letters. Keep them coming. We'll have to figure out what we're going to be for Halloween.
Very good, very good.
Spooky. Okay, we love you guys. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.